What is poppin', lockin', polka dotting, countryfy, and hip hoppin'? Put your arms in the side, move side to side, swing to the left, and the rest of the lyrics. Don't know them all. In fact, we're not even gonna get to the episode. We're just gonna quote the entire Hannah Montana movie. We will get to the episode in just a second. This episode is an old friend of mine, Scott Kennedy. Very cool guy. We kind of go down memory lane, talk about some weird shit. But it's a very funny episode. This is also just a little plug. If you enjoy this episode, tell your friends, tell your exes, if you're still in touch with them. Some people say don't stay in touch with exes. I say, I quote Hannah Montana. You know me, just quoting songs. But I just tell people if you enjoy the show. We don't get into this in this episode, but the podcast picture of this episode is a picture of me and Scott, maybe 2011, 2012. I don't know. We were in a play, like a one-act play, and in this scene, we're the only one on stage. We have fake mustaches that I bought from, like, I don't know, from, like, you know, those little, like, arcade games where you put a quarter in and then you turn the machine and then it pops out like a little item inside a container, like a plastic container. I bought two of those mustaches and we used them for the play. And I think it was supposed to be like janitors or something. But as we're talking, the mustaches are falling off. So that's just a little BTS of the picture I'm going to upload for this episode. Again, if you like this podcast, tell your loved ones, and actually don't even just tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, and that's a thing. Tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, and tell your medium ones. Yeah, tell the medium rare friends. Tell your friends that you kind of talk to, that you haven't talked to in since like 2012, aka Scott Kennedy. So all right, well, let's just get to the fucking episode. This is episode 99 of Whip Snap. An old friend of mine is on an episode. This one. What the fuck? This wine is already kicking in. This is Scott Kennedy. I saw... can we give away your middle name? Because I never knew your middle name until you sent me your email.
Do we want it to be like a epic buildup or nah, we can just say it right now. Oh yeah, go for it.
It's Alan. And that sounds like your great grandpa. Is that a grandpa? Is that an old man name?
You're dead on, man. It's my grandfather's name. They just threw it in there for, you know, memories, I guess.
I think that's better than mine because my middle name is Joseph and I was named after a saint. So you're nice. Named after someone that's realistic.
Yeah. Who I knew once upon a time.
Oh, no.
You want to know something even more silly? My father's name is Scott as well. So I'm just Scott Jr.
Are you really? So yeah. You're Scott Allen. So your first name is a second name. Your second name is a second name, mm-hmm. And your third name is just a name.
Yep. There's absolutely nothing original about me.
That's not true. So you went to – oh, you know what? I do want to start off with this. I don't have anything planned, but this was the only thing I wanted to talk about. We were on the same plane.
Yeah.
This is wild because I explained this to you briefly when we caught up last month, but I was on the plane already. And then they said on the airplane or the stewardess said, okay, well, missing Scott Kennedy. And I was like on my phone and I looked up. I was like, holy shit, I know that name. And I looked around. It was and luckily you weren't there because I looked around constantly. I'm like, I know that name. Where the fuck is he? And then I guess, damn, I was like, man, I guess he's not showing up. And then you showed up like at the last second.
Yeah.
So what made you made the plane. I've been late to planes. I've been so late that I even missed the whole flight. So were you late because you kind of got confused on the gate or?
Yeah. So it was a little bit half my fault. Probably let's go three quarters my fault. Actually.
Okay. 75 cents.
The layover was in, what was it, Arizona or something? Phoenix?
Phoenix.
Yeah. So I got off the plane and I look at my ticket and I think I have like way more time than I actually do. Like, I forget what the time was, but I got off at like, I don't know, 7:50, and like apparently they were supposed to start boarding at like 8:30. But I didn't account for
like the walk
and also like I think the time, because the time in Burbank had gotten pushed like back a bit. So I think it was a whole thing where like I got confused on like if this layover was getting pushed back a bit. So I thought, and I also just wasn't keeping track of time. I was like, oh, this is a quick walk. And I got to like the terminal and I look up and it says boarding will begin soon. And I'm like, okay, so I got time. So I have my headphones and I'm just listening to a podcast. And by pure luck, I hear like through the intercom. I have noise canceling headphones on. So it's like crazy that I even picked this out. But I heard last call for Scott Kennedy and I was like, oh shit, that's me. So I like quickly like get all my shit together. I go up to the guys and they're like, yo, we've been calling you for like the last, you know, 20 minutes.
Oh, they
like,
got upset.
Yeah, no, they weren't upset. They were like, you got lucky, dude. They were about to leave. And so I was like, I was a hair's breadth away from being stuck in Phoenix for a night and also never even seeing you again.
I know, that is wild. It's funny too, because the flight, so we took that flight and then my flight back to California, like 11 days later, I missed my flight by 7 minutes.
Yikes.
And I ran and I was, well, I didn't run all the way because I'm still this, it's still in public. So I don't want to look like that guy that's just like running to a flight in like a Home Alone movie or something. So I was walk running and they were like, you're late by 7 minutes. And I was like, you can't close the gate or open the gate. And they were like, once it's closed, we can't open it again. I'm like, yeah, you can though.
Yeah. No, they're assholes like that. I've been there. It's rough.
Are you now in California?
I'm back in California. It's been good. Not much else to report.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I don't know if I said this to you when we caught up again, but on New Year's Eve, I was back in Kansas. And did I tell you what my dad said?
What?
Okay. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. So I guess I was drinking on New Year's Eve in like a feminine way. Didn't even know I was doing it. And some guy
a,
that
we did a pinky up type of thing.
What's that?
Do you have like your pinky up or type of thing or what?
No, I think I, you know what it was? I think it was Britney Spears. I was tucking in my shirt or like having the bottom of my shirt tuck in the top.
Yeah.
If you can imagine classic Britney Spears. And I was dancing like that. And then some fucking guy that still no one knows who invited him went up to my dad and was like, is your son gay? And my dad was like, no, but his boyfriend is. And it was so quick. I was like, oh, that's so good.
That's a fantastic response.
I know. It was so quick. And I don't know what happened to that guy, but I was like, thank God. And also, I'm wondering now, is that guy asking me? Because it was a middle-aged dude. Is that guy asking me because he's trying to like get with it? Or is he concerned about my future?
You know, you never know with those types. A lot of it is sometimes it really is some deeply buried, you know, desires that they're sort of projecting angrily out into the world.
That is true. There was an old man years ago. I was in line. There was an old man. I was in line with my younger brother. He was probably like 18 at the time. An old man in front of us at the cash register. We don't know anything about this man. He didn't even like transition smoothly into what he said to my brother, but he just turns to my brother and he goes, you're really cute. And we were like, whoa, dude, that the confidence an old man has. I don't know if any middle-aged man or like old man ever called you attractive.
I'm sure it's happened before.
Okay.
But, but I can't remember. Yeah. It's just so many old guys, you know, are always like crawling into my DMs. So it's hard to call, you know, but no, but it's true about that the courage you have once you reach a certain age.
You just say anything.
Yeah, you really do. I was reading a story. I don't know where I read this story, but it was like some guy who's like in his 80s pretending he has Alzheimer's, but he doesn't really. And he's like giving his like grandchildren presents with just his shit in the box. And everyone's like, oh, grandpa, you don't do that. And he's like, Oh, I thought I got Billy a train set, but no, he's everybody. I don't know why I'm doing that, but
that's also a good way to kind of come out of the closet as an old man. Grandpa, what's your dick doing in here? Oh, I was just trying to give you a clue.
Yeah, you know, just really, just, you know, shake things up in that last decade. Get wild with it.
The last decade. Well, you know, you're gonna die. So
yeah, exactly. It's like, why not? Why not fuck a couple guys? What do you what do you got to lose?
That's the title of the episode. You tried to bond over if I watched anime, and I don't know anything about anime.
Hey, it's all good. I hate anime now too. So
you hate it. Why do you hate it now?
You know, I've been watching anime since I was like 7, I want to say. Like, I don't know if you knew what Inuyasha was, but that was like big, like on Adult Swim, and I would watch it as a kid. But like, after like years of watching, like, so the way anime works, it's kind of like just regular television, but like each season, like winter, fall, spring, summer, there's like a new batch of shows that are coming out. They usually run for like 12 episodes.
Okay.
And I used to watch like as many as I could, because I loved anime. And now as I've gotten like older and just watched a shit ton, it's really just the same stuff coming out over and over again. Like wacky high school rom-com with like questionable sexualizing of minor girls.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, your classic run-of-the-mill. Just
I need to pause. I don't know why I laughed at that. That's a very serious topic. I was like, yeah, dude.
Really off-putting in that way to a lot of people. I think that's why it's like evades widespread appeals. Ah, those pesky pedophiles, you know? Pretty.
We going back to those old people we were talking about?
Yeah, I get it. That's the demographic for sure.
This is my audience is 80 and above.
Okay, so we're right in your Q zone then.
If you want, we can start talking about feet. I think they really love that.
Oh yeah, subscribe to my OnlyFans. It's all feet.
I think the very first experience I had with anime, and this is probably why later on I never got into it. We used to VHS record old clips of what was it? Yu-Gi-Oh? Is Yu-Gi-Oh anime?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We used to watch that maybe like 2 or 3 episodes. I remember a specific one, but my mom came in one time and at the she's fine about this now. But when we were watching it, she was just like, do you think God is okay with you watching this? Because it was all like made up magic and stuff. We also had those. Oh, what was it? It was like you hold it. It was Yu-Gi-Oh specifically, but you hold it in your hand and you can fit like 6 cards on the handle. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I had one of those too.
Yeah.
The fucking deck something. Oh, let me Google this, man.
And now it looks like that thing from the X-Men movie where the guy that's really good at throwing cards, it looks like it could be his type of weapon. Gambit.
Yeah.
It looks like it's like a shield. Fuck.
A dual disc. It was called
a dual disc. Oh, gross. Yeah. Even just saying that.
Dude, those things were fucking sick. And the way they like, and then like you could like click a button and they spin outwards just like in the show and you like place your cards on the.
It's also a good weapon. I don't know if you've ever tried to throw cards and like try to cut an apple in half or something.
I see what you mean. Yeah, you could totally use that as a little launcher.
I can also try to do a deep dive and try to find a photo of both of us so people know. Oh, my God.
That would be sick if you could find a photo of both of us.
For the people listening, we met through camp in like 2009.
We were like, what, 8, 9, around 10 maybe?
Yeah, around that time.
And yeah.
And it was actually before camp. We met at an improv workshop.
That's right.
And it's weird too. Without that improv workshop, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, which is in the summer, I am a comedy director. So I'm teaching improv, sketch, and stand-up.
That's awesome.
And so without that workshop, I wouldn't have. And like watching you and like everybody else, because at the time I wanted to do theater stuff, but I was very shy. But then I see you and the friends you knew like open up. I was like, oh, dude, this is very inspiring. So like everybody I met at that workshop, it was just like, that was like, yeah, that was awesome. I do want to plug this now and then maybe plug it in later. But you have a podcast coming up. I don't know if it's already released. Is this something you can talk about now?
Yeah, I'll talk. I would love to.
Sweet.
It is not released yet. I don't know when it's going to be released. It's
God damn
a lot
it, Scott.
Anyway, let me get down to what it is.
Okay.
The podcast I'm working on is called Backyard Mysteries. And the idea essentially is, you know, there's a lot of small things in our own little worlds that maybe we take note of in our day-to-day lives that sort of give us pause, make us like think about like why it's there, what it's doing there, what the story behind it is. And I think a lot of the times, you know, we see these little curiosities and we just sort of go on with our day. Well, the job of Backyard Mysteries is we take those like small curiosities in our own backyard and we dive way, way, way too far deep into like its history, why it's what it's doing there. Any story is sort of like tangential to it. And so for example,
I know that word.
Yeah. It's like things like sort of vaguely related to it also, okay. Like tell the story like in this like really detailed, like overly detailed way. But for instance, this big episode that we've been working on, my co-host and I, we're neighbors.
Do we want to give her a shout out?
Yeah, her name's Romina. But anyways, our first mystery is at the crossroads of the gym that we work out at is sort of this little bit of graffiti that just says "Blue Dog has rats." And so the first question is, well, what is the Blue Dog? Well, the Blue Dog is a restaurant a couple blocks down from our gym, like really close by. And then the next question, of course, becomes, does the Blue Dog have rats? If it does, are they doing anything about it? If it doesn't, who wrote that message and why? And so the first bit of the podcast is a speculating, like, who could, like, theories, like a disgruntled employee. Could it be like a lover of the owner, like wanting to just get one last like screw you to the person who owns the restaurant? The answer may surprise you. I can say with 90% certainty that we know probably who did it.
I feel like you're just saying the plot of Ratatouille.
Yeah, it's one of the disgruntled rats. He's not getting credited for cooking the delicious food.
This idea of a podcast, it sounds like you came up with this idea when you were on like tripping on something. Did you guys just sit down and decide, okay, we want to do a podcast, what should it be about? And then you just started spitballing ideas.
It's really funny. We didn't even like, the idea came super organically.
She just like snorted a line and then she just said it.
But no, that would be funny if that was how it happened. But what really happened was, it was like, I think one day we were like, and we do this all the time. We carpool to the gym and we're just like talking about strange things or interesting things we've seen. And a lot of it had to do with like things we see around the neighborhood or our observations we made, like, hey, this guy has a radio
penis in a Christmas box. What's up with that?
Yeah, exactly. Or like one, for instance, she's like, Scott, do you hate pickles or something? And I was like, no, why would you ask me if I hate pickles? I love pickles. And she's like, because I found this receipt and on the receipt it says order for Scott and then in all caps, no pickles, exclamation point. I'm like, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. So she's like, there's another Scott in our building who hates pickles.
You get defensive. You're like, why the? I would never fucking, I fucking love pickles, okay?
How fucking dare you? I'll rip your throat out if you ever say that about me again. No, but it was just stuff like that. So eventually I was just like, we should just do a podcast about just weird shit like this. And we just like explore it way too in depth. Maybe we get an answer. Maybe we don't. The fun is just sort of like us sort of bumbling around trying to be like fake detectives. And we like, we were like spitballing, like we could even get like really like heartfelt stories that we weren't expecting. Like maybe there's a guy who's like, who goes in the park and he just like, he screams for like 2 hours a day and then leaves. And we're like, why is he doing that? And he's like, oh, it's because I'm screaming to give everybody like, you know, everyone awareness on like breast cancer or something. I'm like, oh my God, that's so sweet. You know, you know, weird shit like that. This first mystery that we tackled, it's become so much deeper. It's not even about, I don't want to give away too much, but it like,
you don't have
it's
to.
Even a, it, it isn't even about like whether or not the Blue Dog has rats anymore. It's about a specific character, a head figure, let's say, within the restaurant and their sort of goings on within like the local community at large, District 4 of Los Angeles. And like his dealings with like local government. It's insane.
This is a very like, it's like Sherlock Holmes mixed with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah. Well, you're trying to solve a mystery, but you have so many questions. And then at the very end, you're like, you know what? I don't even think there's a God.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly.
Your podcast, do you know, like, around the time you want to release it and where you're going to release it?
Our thought is we want to get, like, a solid backlog of stuff recorded and nearing finish or completion. And we're going to start with, like, the first season, I think. Just doing 6 episodes.
Okay.
And sort of release them weekly, I think. It's really hard to say when we'll be done, especially with our jobs right now. It's been hard to coordinate this stuff. But I really am hopeful that we're going to have at least, like, a first episode out by about, like, maybe August of this year.
Oh, okay, dope.
Yeah.
So the season that you're in, like, if you're doing one season, does it focus on, you mentioned it's like mysteries and you're trying to figure it out. Is it focused on a specific genre of mystery? And then, like, the second season you move on to something else, if that question makes sense?
Yeah, we were mostly just probably going to focus on just doing mysteries within our neighborhood. The real only reason I think we were going to do, like, the just a seasonal thing is because we're going to put a lot of effort into the just doing, like, the 6 episodes. So and especially because we're not getting paid to do it, it's just something we do creatively in our free time. I think we'll probably need, like, a break to prevent burnout.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about potentially, like, doing theme seasons like you're talking about. Like, for instance, I think cryptids are super interesting. I think it'd be fun.
Wait, what is,
like,
it?
Like cryptids, like Bigfoot or
Oh, yeah.
You know, Mothman. Even if, like, I don't really buy into all that stuff, I still think the people who do are interesting. So I thought it would be cool to, like, do one season where we dedicate one episode to one cryptid and the people who, like, believe in them and, like, go out searching for them.
That's cool. Yeah. And then, like, well, like, once, like, even though it's a themed, it's still, you can talk about so much stuff, like, kind of like what you said, cryptic, like, presidents. That's also, like,
ooh,
you can do so many things with presidents. Speaking of cryptic or, like, Loch Ness Monster, like Sasquatch, like stuff like that. I remember last year, or maybe a couple of years ago, I was going to a concert with a few friends of mine, and we stayed at a hotel after that. But to kind of pregame for the show, we got high and we put on one of those documentaries making fun of, like, I don't even know if it's making fun. I don't understand ghost hunters shit. I don't know if they know it's fake and they're trying to be silly and they're, like, committing to the bit. Or I don't know if they believe it themselves, but this one was about Loch Ness Monster, and I was extremely high. And even though I don't believe in Loch Ness Monster, it showed, like, a tail in the ocean, and I ran in the bathroom because I was so fucking scared.
That's great.
I was, and then it's weird too because I'm also the type where, like, I know what I'm scared of. I'm scared of big bugs, like overly unrealistic big bugs. And
I hate
stuff
bugs. I feel you there.
Like. Like Lord of the Rings, the fucking big spider in Return of the King, that's scarier than any scary movie I've seen.
Yeah.
But even though I was scared of the Loch Ness Monster in the clip and the TV show, and I ran to the bathroom, I was still poking my head out to kind of see what was next.
Hell yeah. So
I don't know what that says about me. Well, like, even though I'm scared of it, I still want to see it. And that phobia, it's called, like, thrashophobia, where you're, like, you're scared of, like, deep waters.
Yes, I know this phobia. I'm pretty sure I have that one, too.
You have the same thing? Thrashophobia?
There's the thalassophobia? I'm not. I gotta look this up.
It has to do something with that.
Yes, thalassophobia, fear of deep bodies of water, such as the ocean or a lake.
I'm not necessarily scared of the ocean or the lake, but deep water for sure. Or, like, if you ever went into the ocean and you had your eyes open and you just see, like, dirty water and then you just expect, like, you don't expect, but, like, you imagine something would just quickly jump out and you, that scares the shit out of me.
There's this, like, ravine in the UK. I forget what it's called, but it's, like, very fast moving water currents and very, very deep. And it has, like, a ton of drowning deaths, like, all the time. It's, like, super dangerous. You're not even allowed to, like go into it. But it's, like, 200 feet deep and, like, super thinny, sort of, or skinny.
Super thinny.
Thinny. I just
You just described both of our body shape.
Wow. I know, yeah. you don't play games at all, right?
It's not even that, and I just had this conversation with someone else earlier today. Video games and like sweets, I have the same thing where like if I play just a little bit, I'm gonna play a lot of it, and then I get too obsessed with it, and then it takes over my free time. So like I played a lot of like Black Ops and Fortnite, Minecraft a little bit, but I don't want to get back into it because I also have an addictive personality.
Yeah, makes sense.
Once I find something, I'm gonna get obsessed with it. But you mentioned you play video games. You play what was it? You mentioned Apex.
Yep. Yeah, I don't play that anymore. I have a bad relationship with Apex.
You're like me and them just fell apart. Oh yeah. They were seeing someone else.
It's true. There's like a ton of issues with the game itself, and also I used to be cracked at the game, but then like everyone else got mega cracked, and I didn't like improve along with the rest of the player base. So now it's just really frustrating because I'll open up a game and just get destroyed immediately.
Do you ever play so good or someone else play so good that you think they're cheating?
Yeah, a couple times. But then I'm usually just like, I'm probably just coping because I got destroyed. I'm probably just mad and I'm just throwing baseless accusations at some poor guy.
It is weird how like if you're in front of somebody, especially like a young boy, and they do something to annoy you, not one moment in history you would ever call them a name, you'd ever want to fight them, but there's something about playing a little kid on the video game and you just go off.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like texting. Yeah, it's kind of like letting loose and texting online. You're just like, there's no consequences.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've said so many nasty things in front of a kid, and looking back at it, I don't regret it. It's so fun.
you can just be the worst. It's like there's a community understanding that we're all going to be the worst versions of ourselves here because there's no consequence. Like you said. So everyone just does that. Sometimes it gets really, really bad though, because some people's worst versions of themselves are really, really bad.
Yeah, it's like 1920s white men.
Yeah.
So what do you play now?
Either Overwatch, which the player base there can be really, really, really toxic. but I have a group of people I play with, so it's fine. I don't have to talk to or deal with like random like toxic people.
You don't have to deal with fucking losers.
A game called Fall Guys.
I know Fall Guys.
Yeah, it's just a goofy, like, it's just silly. And then Fortnite recently, because I'm mostly facing toddlers. The lobbies have me mostly facing toddlers, so I feel like I'm good at the game. I'll, like, drop 17 kills against bots and four-year-olds.
That's a game, too, where I was so good, and then I took a break for maybe 2 months, and then everybody else got good, and I kind of, like, stopped getting good. So I'm just like, I don't want to play anymore.
I played it a lot more during college, during when, like, the building stuff was still
I experimented with Fortnite in college.
Yeah. But, I had a Fortnite phase in college. Wild time. I was wondering, like, do you have any other standout memories of, like, TCT or camp that you can remember, like, or plays that we did?
I remember a lot of the plays that we did. I even remember the small stage we did. So in Topeka, Kansas, there's a theater called Topeka Civic Theater. And for summer camp where we met, we did a lot of, like, one-act plays together. And the smaller theater, there's two theaters in the building. We did a lot of plays in the small theater. I remember putting my name backstage. It said my name, and then 2009. I still remember where I put it. I remember I was backstage for Pinkalicious, and you were one of the main characters. And I remember
the dad, and my little sister was Pinkalicious.
Yeah, I would see my friends be in the spotlight, singing songs and like acting, which is I love acting, and I'm just missing it backstage. And the only job I had was like put props in a fridge and then just chill backstage wearing all black. I'm like, damn, I want to be out there.
Wait, were you stage crew?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were in it.
No.
I don't remember like what.
Well, you know, every small part is fucking whatever the phrase is. I don't know, sucks dick. But
I remember Zach was in it, and he was a bee.
He was a bee.
And he wanted to get pollen from my sister, who was Pinkalicious.
Whoa.
So basically, the subtext of that is like Pinkalicious is pink because she eats too many pink foods and she gets pinkatitis.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of like butterflies, bees, and other pollinating insects want to, you know, what I take it as they want to fuck this child. Because the whole song is about like how she's the prettiest, pinkest flower they've ever seen.
That is weird.
And it's about birds and bees and how they want to pollinate, like get her pollen.
Get her pollen. Oh, dude. I didn't think about that.
I just thought it. I just realized how fucked up that song is.
That's so funny because the longest time I was like, I want to be in this. And then on stage, you're like, we're going to fuck a minor.
We're going to fuck this pink child.
I do remember. So when I joined, this was my very first session at camp. When I joined that camp and I knew you, I knew Zach, I knew a few other people. I didn't know it, but we do a dance after the play.
Yes, at summer camp. Always do the dance.
I had no idea, and I hated dance. But I'm not good with my feet. I'm not good at dancing, but let's just fucking commit because everyone else is committing. And it was the safety dance.
Oh, yeah, I remember that dance too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I hated dancing. I don't like dancing. I thought that the putting the dances in there was like hokey and weird. It didn't make any sense.
It was so stupid. And I would see you, like when we were rehearsing, I would see you and everybody else committing. But I think it was since you now say you don't like it, I think it was because you knew you didn't like it.
I was 100% fucking around the entire time.
Yeah,
100% committing to making this the biggest joke I could possibly make it.
And I remember we would spell out safety, but before we did, the song is like S-S-A-A. FF. So as that is going in the background, we're like snapping our fingers, very like Footloose style. And I remember doing it live in front of my parents. And this was the first thought. I remember this so distinctly. This was the first thought as I'm snapping and I know my dad is in the audience. I'm like, oh, he's going to think I'm gay.
Oh, man. Classic Midwestern stuff.
It's so funny.
In the mid 2000s.
Yeah.
No, it was early 2010s.
I'm trying to think now, what was another one we did? We did one, it wasn't summer camp, but, oh, fuck. You had a crush on someone, and I played, like, the hot guy, which is, like, fucking...
Was it Sammy Carducci's Guide to Women?
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, that's, like, the one I do remember, because I loved... That was, like, my favorite child role, I think.
Sammy Carducci was
so funny.
And I remember there was a specific scene... Well, so does your character, you know, your character in the play, you know a lot of what about women or you don't know a lot about
women? He pretends he knows a lot about women, but he doesn't.
I remember specifically when we were rehearsing, you would make an hourglass shape talking about women and you would be like, what was it? You had a specific line, but you would always do this with your hands and you would like nod your head back and forth like, yeah.
Yeah, I know about women because they're like, look squiggly.
Women look squiggly. I do remember also, like, after camp, we were camp counselors there for a little bit.
And yeah.
The camp name that I use there, I still use it at the camp in California.
Really?
It's the same one that I've... Yeah, it's Echo.
I remember.
I don't remember yours, though.
Mine was Fennekin. Like,
oh, yeah! No,
Fennekin's a Pokemon. But it was named after... I was Fennec after the Fennec Fox. I wanted to make mine Scoot Booty, but...
they were like, that's too cool.
No, I think I didn't have that name at the time, but I was known as Scoot Booty, like, throughout a little bit of high school and most of college.
Was it because you were shaking your butt a lot?
It was because in high school, there was this girl, Kathleen, who started calling me Scoot Booty, and it stuck. So everyone started calling me Scoot Booty. And I didn't mind because that's a funny name. But basically, when it came time for like college admission stuff, there was like this rumor going around at my school with seniors. I was like, oh, college is like find your Facebook, they'll go through your past history and like see what you've written, and you might not get accepted based on that shit. So I changed my name. Everyone was changing their name.
Wait, was it just your friends saying this, or was it like actually dead serious?
I heard a lot of people saying it. I think it's all bullshit. I don't think I've ever looked through.
I can still keep my blackface photo from like 2012.
Yeah, definitely keep that one. Yeah.
Just double checking.
Yeah.
Definitely keep it. Like, yeah, you're gonna need it later in the future.
Yeah, definitely. no, but I changed my name on Facebook to Scoot Booty, because I was being called that. So, you know, it's also a way to like, but anyways, when I got accepted to the college I applied for, I knew a bunch of people in there already. So I got invited to the public group on Facebook that was like incoming class of 2019. And at the time my name was Scoot Booty, and I couldn't change it back to Scott because there's a 60-day time period wait before you can change your name back. So everyone going into college knew me as the kid who had his name to Scoot Booty on Facebook. So I just went into college like with people already just calling me Scoot Booty.
As in first name Scoot, or your first name is Scoot Booty?
the first name on Facebook would have been Scoot and then last name Booty, but I just go by the whole Scoot Booty.
Scoot Booty Alan Kennedy.
Scoot Booty Scott Scoot Booty Alan Kennedy. Exactly.
That's so good.
I shit you not. I told my manager about this once, and she was like, you know, let's submit you for stuff with that name. And I was like, I kind of want to be taken seriously.
And he was like, come on.
Yeah, she actually did submit me for one with that name, though, and I got the audition because of that name.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
You mentioned, and this is weird too, because this is another thing that like boggles me, where like you didn't like dance, but you committed to the thing. You mentioned when we met last month that you're not even the biggest fan of improv, but you commit so well to a scene.
Yeah, I can do it. It can be stressful.
And
I think the difference is I can do it, but I'm not necessarily having fun. And other people, they can do it and they're having fun. I just can do it if I have to.
I remember admiring you when I saw, like, because even like after camp I would watch a lot of stuff that you were in, because you were like, you were in Seussical, you were in Willy Wonka. I remember even you on the bigger stage in the same building I mentioned, Peak Pacific Theater. You were just an extra in, I think, Great Gatsby.
It's a Wonderful Life, maybe.
I don't know. I remember you were dancing. No.
Was it the one where there were Nazis? Were there Nazis in it?
Oh, it was fucking, yeah. It was.
Yep, I remember. I was a Nazi in Sound of Music. They put the armband on me and everything.
Sound of Music, I remember that. You were like, yes, finally, I'm going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, so, yeah. Bad? No, I'm joking. Yeah, I'm not going to get rid of that picture either. So you have your black face. I have my Nazi face.
If we just put side to side, me have a black face photo and you wearing a Nazi memorabilia, yeah, and that dick picture. I do remember you in that, but that was, you had no lines in that.
Yeah, I was just there. I did in the chorus, and
I don't know if I.
And I was a Nazi.
Do you put that on your resume?
Oh yeah, it's at the top. No, it's funny because I'm possibly Jewish, so definitely not one to be playing the Nazi.
Wait, this is a backyard mystery right here. What do you mean possibly Jewish?
Well, my mom just told me, like, when I was 25,
did
you know that your grandfather was Jewish? And I was like, no, I would have loved to have known that.
Whoa,
a while ago.
Whoa.
Which was fascinating. And she was like, oh yeah, and also my mother has some Jewish roots as well. And I just thought that was interesting. But also I can't confirm it because both of them are dead. And I don't know like what the context of them like saying that was, or if they had any actual evidence of us being Jewish.
But I could just
impossible. I'm possibly Jewish.
Imagine you go up to their like grave and you're just like, come on, wake up.
Well, wake up. I have to know.
I got one question. Were you one of those people that did like little performances in your living room with your family?
For sure. I think what I did more though is I used to write a bunch of stuff when I was a kid, like scripts, like funny scripts. Like I wrote a script called Trapped in the Elevator, and the premise is this guy's trapped in the elevator with R. Kelly and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Whoa.
And it's like the elevator breaks down and Jeffrey Dahmer clearly has like a barrel of a decomposing dead person, and R. Kelly's just like singing everything that's happening.
And R. Kelly's like, I really got to go to the bathroom. Can you lay down for like 2 seconds?
Yeah. No, the funny thing is I actually found that script over the Christmas break. I found
it. No way.
Yeah. It was terrible. It was so bad, but.
This is another reason why we need to have you on. We didn't get into what you do. I don't know. We don't know anything about your family.
Yeah, you know nothing about other than we went to theater camp
together. Yeah. This is a backyard mystery in and of itself.
I know. Being a witch, if you ever have any, like, you personally.
Oh, I thought you were calling me a witch.
Yeah, no, you are. Yeah, I know. I see the cauldron back there.
I am in a closet, so I am putting up spells and shit.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I never know how to end episodes. But, yeah, we talked about a lot of... we talked about old man penises. We talked about some mysteries in the backyard. We talked about camp. And we talked about me being kind of gay and you being kind of Jewish. So I think we covered the whole basic grounds.
The most important aspect, yeah.
Half gay, half Jewish.
That's the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. That was episode 99. Next episode, guess what's after 99, bitches? Episode 100. I will be doing episode 100 next week. Oh my God, who am I? I am a man who I've talked 100 times to either by myself or other people. Am I lonely? Yes. Do I have friends? Next question. So tune in to episode 100, fuckers, and I hope you enjoyed this one. Okay, peace.